Take your Bible, if you will, tonight, Psalm chapter 137, 137th Psalm. I saw the look on Mrs. Moore's face when, yeah, she's like me. When she started, she going, what? What was that Christmas carol? It's all right. We'll get it here, okay? The only thing about Christmas carols, they're tricky to play. They are very tricky to play. Yes, they are. Most every musician would tell you that. You heard Mrs. Noble sort of groan over here, right? Because they are tricky to play, all right? When you're gone, all right, we'll have to sing. If we're going to sing We Three Kings of Orient Are, it'll be When You're Gone this Sunday, all right? Well, remember that, all right? We'll sing at Acapulco, all right? And we don't have to worry about it. Just don't have to worry about the music, you know, if we sing it like that. So anyway, all right. I trust you're having a good day. Let's look, if you will, Psalm 137, verse 1. The Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Amen. I want to preach tonight on how can I sing now? How can I sing now? Amen. The setting for this psalm is the viewpoint of a captive Israelite who's been carried away captive into Babylon. In ancient history, the practices were a whole lot different than they are today. Today, usually, in relatively recent times, if one nation conquers another one, they don't take that population and bring them back to their land. They leave them there and, you know, just try to tax them to death, all right? But in ancient history, it was not unusual at all when one group would conquer another one. They would then especially take the best of the people, all right? The strongest, if you will, the brightest, the best. And they would take them back. For instance, the Babylonians, they would take them back to Babylon, put them to work there and use them there. Sometimes they were slaves. Sometimes the slavery is, our problem is when we think of slavery, we think of people that are beaten with whips and that kind of thing. But slavery in ancient history wasn't necessarily that way. It was a different situation. But this psalm is written from the viewpoint of an Israelite that's been captured, taken into captivity. Captivity. And notice there, it says there was weeping, all right? In verse 1, it says, we wept. We wept when we remembered Zion. Now, that's Jerusalem, okay? That's Jerusalem. And the writer said it was so bad that they just hung up their music instruments, hung them on the willows there along the river, and the idea was, we're done. There's nothing to sing about or anything. But then that writer says, hey, they come along, our captors, demanded that we sing. Even wanted them to be happy when they sang. That says there, he said, they that wasted us required of us mirth. All right? Some happiness and joy and laughter, all right? And that was when the writer says, you know, hey, we just can't do that. Commanded to sing, commanded to be happy about it. When that happens, we find that question, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? In other words, man, you're just asking for something we can't do. You're asking for something that's impossible for us. Now, I believe we as believers tonight can be reckoned in the same situation. You say, what do you mean? Well, we live in a strange land. Amen. We live in a strange land. The ungodly have turned things upside down. Amen. We live in a day when good's called bad, bad's called good. Perversion is considered to be normal, and normal is called and considered to be hate. It's out of whack. The Bible, no longer respected, no longer honored, much less followed, you know. We talk about living in a land, and it's often said, and correctly, a land that was founded on the Judeo-Christian principles, and it was founded that way. But those principles today are being, they're rejected, and we who still believe this book are barely tolerated. Hey, I expect us to sing under those conditions. Well, two reasons. One, faith. Amen. Faith. Amen. Faith. Hey, our faith is not in this world. Amen. Or the things of this world. All right, it's just not. Our faith is in this book and the God of this book. That's where it's at. It's right there. It's founded there. It's grounded there. That's where it comes from. That's where our faith emanates from. It is there. It's not in something that changes with time. It's in the unchanging and unchangeable Word of God. And it's in an unchanging God. He said, man, I am the Lord and I change not. So our faith, that's where our faith is, all right? It's right there. It's not in the television. It's not in the news media. It's not in the White House. It's not in Congress. It's in God and His Word. That's where our faith is, all right? And we're convinced of it, all right? From its pages, we know some things. We know that everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right, all right? Our ties to this world are to be really loose. Okay? We're not to be tied strongly to this world. When we get tied too strongly to the world, we wind up pulled away from God. We're to be, and we're described as pilgrims. We're to be strangers and pilgrims down here. The truth is, you and I that believe the Bible and love the Lord, we're not to fit in. We're not to fit in. We shouldn't fit in. We ought to kind of stand out like that sore thumb, you know. Just the way we live, and people will go, well, what's the deal with them? And we ought to stand out from the world, right? You say, what do you mean, pilgrims? Take your Bible over to Hebrews, would you? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Here in this great chapter in the Word of God, the Bible, talking about some of the great folks of the faith and how they did what they did, and it was always by faith that it happened. But I want you to notice in Hebrews 11, look at verse 13, would you? Verse 13, the Bible says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Amen. You said, oh, preacher, that was a long, long time ago. They're talking about people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. I know it. But I want to show you it's not much different. Look over in 2 Peter. We're there close. Just keep turning in your Bible and go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, all right? 2 Peter chapter 2, look down in verse 11. Well, I got the wrong verse. I love it when I write the wrong verse down. It makes things look so good. Maybe it's 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, yep, here we are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I hate it when my computer makes mistakes like this. Makes me feel bad, all right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Peter said, I'm talking to strangers and pilgrims. How we sing the song, I'm just a weary pilgrim wandering through this world of sin, getting ready for that city when the saints go marching in. Hey, we're pilgrims here. We're strangers. That is what we're to be. We're not to get so tied to the world. We're not going to be here long. All right? Not going to be here long. This week, I know of three preachers that died. that I either knew or knew of. Today there was a funeral for the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. He pastored Grace Baptist Church for years and years, Dr. Wayne Martin, and he taught my brother in college. Well, he tried to, he taught my brother when he was in college, but he passed away, 94 years old. Then today, yesterday, Brother C.W. Fisk died. He was a longtime preacher, been involved in several different churches. Now is over Trinity in Arlington, and then I heard that Clarence Sexton, who pastored in Knoxville, Tennessee, Temple Baptist Church there, passed away. Hey, look. We're not destined to be here long. And I mentioned Dr. Martin, he died 94. He said, well, that's a long time. Well, you wait till you get to where I am. It ain't that far, all right? It just doesn't seem that long anymore, you know? We're not here long. We're not to get tied here long while we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through, all right? We're strangers. So it is our faith that can help us, all right? We sojourn here. That's all we're doing. We're just spending a little bit of time here. But as the Bible said there in Hebrews 11, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Just going along here, all right? But we're looking for another place, all right? We're doing that. And hey, by faith, we sojourn. By faith, we're pilgrims in a strange land. By faith, hey, we met the Lord. We met the Lord. We've got a Savior. We've got a Savior who can keep us. We've got a Savior who can take care of us while we're here. He's able to do that, abundantly able to do that. And it is the joy of the Lord that's spoken of in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. It is that joy of the Lord that stirs our soul and brings joy even in a strange land. Even in a strange land. It brings joy to us. Even when, you know, little tough times, okay, what is it? It's faith. It's faith that keeps us going. It's faith that can put a song in our heart, all right? It can do that. I found myself in the hospital singing, in the hospital bed, not visiting somebody else, but in the hospital bed, and found myself singing. He said, how you doing? Hey, I've met the Lord. I know He's going to take care of me, all right? It is that faith that gets us through the difficulties, all right? And helps us to know, even though we live in a strange land, and even though those that maybe would condemn us, hey, we can still sing, all right? But since we've met Him, our confidence is in Him. In Him. Our confidence is not in men. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us. You say, well, I'm not sure He's for me. Well, He died for you. What's He got to do to convince you? He offers you eternal life as a free gift. I mean, what's He got to do to let you know He's for you? He's for you. Man, we've met Him. That's where our confidence is. That's it. We could get a little cocky, not because of ourselves, but because of Him. But because of Him, that's it. We don't have to be afraid of what men can do. Don't have to worry about it. You know, people talk about minorities. To be honest with you, real strong Bible believers are the ultimate, I think, minority in the world today. Folks that really believe this book, believe God said what He meant and meant what He said. But we don't have to worry about men out there. Because of all of that, though, we can sing in a strange land in a difficult time. We can still have a song. We can still have a song. There's a great old song, Ms. Noble plays it often, but if you don't know the tune, you don't recognize it. It talks about, hey, you can have a song in your heart in the night. You can't. Hey, just because it's dark don't mean you can't sing. Just because it doesn't look good doesn't mean you can't sing. Hey, it's our faith. Our faith. How are we going to sing in a time like this? Our faith. Our faith. We can sing. Not only that, I think it has to do with our focus. It has to do with our focus. You say, what do you mean? Well, what are you focused on in life? Some people see just the cloud and miss the silver lining. We miss, where's your focus? We need to focus on what we have, not the circumstances that surround us. Focus on what you got. You say, well, I don't have much. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. Got the Holy Spirit living in you to guide you. To guide you and get you along in life. You realize that? That's what you have, all right? You've got that. We overlook it sometimes and we kind of push him to the back because the Bible said you have to yield to him. Yield to him or you can push him away. But we overlook what we do have and we're looking at all the circumstances that are surrounding us. We're like the fellow there in Elijah's day when he went out and he saw all the seemed like he said, we're surrounded, we're done. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. Amen. He could see the host of God. We don't see it. It's like the old, I've heard this, I don't know how many times a fellow sent a shoe salesman down to a tropical island where everybody went barefoot. First guy came back and he said, man, there's no market, all right? Those people go barefoot all the time. They sent another guy down. He wrote back for more shoes. He said, nobody here wears them. We got a good market. Yep. Hey, it depends on how you focus. It depends on what you focus on. It is easy for us in tough times and difficult days to focus on the circumstances. Easiest thing in the world to do that. Focus on those circumstances. When you do that, though, we forget what we have. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, we hold a clear title to a mansion. You do understand that, right? We hold that. We've got that. That belongs to us. We have an eternal salvation given to us by God. Don't get to looking at the circumstances, all right? Focus on what you have. Focus on the eternal, not the temporary. The eternal. Hey, can I say this? The current situation shall not last. Whatever it is, it's not going to last. It will pass. There was a fellow that used to be on television every Sunday. He wrote books and he was a heretic. His name was Robert Schuller. But he did say one thing's pretty much right. I'll never forget, I heard him say, tough times don't last, tough people do. And there's some truth in that. But to be honest with you, you really don't have to be all that tough if you can just stay focused on the eternal. Stay focused on the eternal. We get to looking at that which is only temporary. Temporary. Now, sometimes temporary lasts what we think is a long time. Right? I mean, you have some health issues. And it seems like it takes forever to get over them. You know, just seem like, boy, what a struggle. While we're going through it, but wait a minute. And the overall gist is just nothing to it. And whatever it is, the truth of the matter is you may have years of physical ailments and you may pass off the scene, but wait a minute, as a child of God, okay? Child of God, focus on the eternal. Focus on the eternal. Don't get so focused on that which is so temporary. It doesn't last. It will end. There is an end to it, all right? Focus not on the trouble that's in the world, but on the one who's overcome the world. Focus on him, all right? I can sing about the Lord Jesus anytime I want to. Go back and look in the book of Job. Job chapter 35. Oh, look at some verses here. Job 35, look if you will in verse 9. Job 35, verse 9. The Bible says this, by reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty, but none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? He giveth songs in the night. Great songs. We sing in your songbook, page 78. Open the songbook up to page 78, will you? Page 78. Notice that's the song is redeemed. Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. But I want you to look at that last verse, all right? Is that redeemed and so happy in Jesus? No. What's the last verse? I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps. Look at that next part. And giveth me songs in the night. He'll do it. He'll do it. He can do that to you. Focus on the one who overcomes the world. Focus on that one who has done so much for us, all right? That one that is eternal, all right? He is eternal. Look, Psalm 40. Psalm 40, if you would. Notice what the Bible says. This is the psalmist David was writing. And he begins there in verse 1. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and brought and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Hey, why? Because I got a new song. Well, how did you get that? Well, I was focused on everything going on around me. It's like old country songs, you know. I mean, those things, you listen to them, it'd wear you out.
Amen.
Just wear you out. And you listen, everything's going to terrible, you know. Your wife's left you. The dog died. I mean, the whole thing, all right? The whole thing, everything's just come apart, all right? And, you know, you can listen to enough of that. That'll lift your spirits. No, it won't. But He gave us a new song. He gave us a new song, all right? We were singing last night. I can't help Brother Earl. I hope you don't get mad at me. Brother Earl, we were talking. This is the first time I really talked to him after he started coming. We sat down and we were talking, and I don't even know how we mentioned something about singing. He said, well, I'm not going to sing while anybody's around. He said, I can't sing. Brother Earl, I heard you last night. Wasn't that bad, all right? You know, he was there singing Christmas carols with us, and I didn't see anybody with their hands over their ears or moving away from him, okay? I didn't see any of that. Why? Well, he puts a new song. Puts a new song. He gives us a new one. Hey, don't focus on the troubles in the world. Focus on the one who's overcome the world. And He's told us, you can do it, all right? Let me say it. Focus not on where I am, but where I'm going. Right now. Oh, yeah, I think it may be a little bit tough, but I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere it's going to be better, all right? Not so focused, if you will, so much on what I'm going through, but where I'm going to. That's where the focus needs to be. Hey, you may have some tough times in this old world. You may have some difficult days. But this is not where you stop, okay? We're going on. We're going somewhere else. Don't get focused in on where you are. But where are you going, all right? Where are you headed? Focus on that. Focus not on those who might oppose you, but on the one that sustains you. The one that takes care of you. Get your focus on Him. Yep, there you'll have some opposition. But there's one who's promised, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll supply all your need. That's the promise of God. Folks, if we could just keep the focus there, keep it there, not on the people that oppose you, not on those that say, well, I got some enemies. Don't focus so much on them. There's one that's taking care of you. I want to say it this way. Focus not on the current chapter of the book, but on the end of it. On the end of it. So what's the current chapter? I think for us it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh no, he said, what's the current chapter in the book? Well, here it is. I really like to read Lewis L'Amour Western novels. But sometimes I get aggravated at him. I get aggravated at him because it seems like every one of the heroes has got to get shot somewhere along the way. And he gets laid up and he toughs it out and he thinks, well, I'm not going to make it, you know. But I get to that stage and I know, hey, it's going to work out in the end of the book. Well, where are we at here? 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Amen.
We're living in those perilous times.
Yes,
remember what I said? The wicked of the world have turned things upside down. They seem to hold sway. We've got good called bad and bad called good, and that which is perverse, everybody said, oh no, that's normal, it ought to be accepted. And anything that's normal, you're a hater. You're just a hater. Look, it's all upside down and cattywampus. I mean, it's messed up. Perilous times shall come. Won't you look at verse 12, same chapter. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know some good news? But notice verse 14. But continue thou, or excuse me, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It gets better all the time. But no, look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hey, that's what you do. Perilous times come. What am I going to do? Keep on going. Just keep on going. Expect a little opposition. Expect maybe, a little persecution along the way. Yep, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. But you've learned some things. You need to stay in those things that you've learned. You've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, don't you go back off of them. You just stay with it. Stay with it, all right? That's the chapter we're in right now. Okay, just keep on. But we know the end of the book, all right? Go to Revelation chapter 5, would you? Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The Bible said, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Amen.
That's coming, all right?
Yes,
but you go all the way to Revelation 21, would you? Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all of these verses. But look in verse 1, chapter 21. Notice, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Amen.
And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
Amen.
Drop down to verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. We'll just read. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it, are equal. You said, how big is that? Real big, all right? Real big. Drop down to verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hey, we're in the middle of the book, but we know how it ends. We know how it ends. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying it's all right. We can sing. We can sing in a strange land. All right? We can sing, you know, in a strange day. That's why we can sing. Hey, that's why we should sing. I'll be honest with you, that's why I can't help but sing. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Singing. You say, I don't like to sing. Okay, do whatever it is, strikes your fancy, but there ought to be something that stirs you, that causes you, if you would, put a smile on your face, that expresses the joy, expresses the happiness that you ought to have in this day, in the midst of a strain. Oh yeah, feel like captives sometimes. Feel like captives. We feel like, hey, I don't fit in. Don't let that bother you, sing anyway. Don't let that stop you. Don't let it take that joy out of you. Don't worry about those things that are going on. Hey, it's temporary. It's temporary. Focus on the eternal, all right? Focus on the eternal. That fellow there in Psalm 137 said, how can we sing, you know, in a strange land? Well, we ought to be able to do it by faith. We ought to be able to do it by faith. And we can do it if we'll keep our focus where it ought to be. Don't be overcome and overwhelmed by the burdens and the trials. Hey, preacher, don't you ever have any trouble? Yes. Yeah, I work with about 27 kids every day. We got troubles, all right? But I just want you to know you don't focus on that. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Hey, listen, if your focus is out, maybe you need to spend a little time at the altar tonight. Maybe you need to say, Lord, and like the disciples did to the Lord, Lord, would you increase my faith? Maybe you need to come. I'll give you that opportunity as we sing a song of invitation here in a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm really not sure maybe necessarily who might have just needed the message. I think we all needed it because we all need to be encouraged. We all need to be pointed in that right direction. But Lord, sometimes our faith gets a little weak. Sometimes we begin to doubt. Lord, sometimes our focus gets out of focus. We focus on the wrong thing. Lord, you just help us a little bit tonight. Lord, as we go through the invitation to help people to use the altar, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together as we sing the invitation hymn, just as I am, without one plea. If you need to come, you come tonight.